You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
This is Pop Wilfong.
I'm Joe Canale.
I'm Ryan Tweedy.
I'm Pat Jansen.
And my Canale.
All right, so you know who's here now.
For Nebraska and the Scarlet.
From Van Nuys, California.
About 15 miles away from Hollywood, California.
It's the Big Red Copcast.
Hey, guys. It's another episode of the Big Red Copcast. I'm Pat.
I'm Ryan.
I switched up the order this time.
Yeah, I wanted
to go first this time.
That's fine. You can go first whenever you want, man.
I go first a lot of times on a lot of things.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
right, ladies.
Getting in line for Universal Studios. That's what I meant.
Oh, I thought you meant.
Yeah, I know what you meant, and I meant it too.
Okay. So today we have Jordan Burroughs and James Green.
Yeah, two All-American Husker wrestlers.
And also a national champion, and also a gold medal winner.
And also a four-time All-American in the case of James. So all you Matt heads out there, I know you're excited for this. A lot of wrestlers in the Midwest.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I've never talked to a gold medal Olympian before, so, you know, that was pretty exciting. I guess we might as well just be honest with that up front. There was some technical difficulties between the phone lines. We did our best to make it work. A lot of stuff being patched in, So we hope you still enjoy it, but it was a very, very interesting interview, very good interview.
Yeah, there were, like you said, some difficulties, and, you know, there may be a little bit gravelly points in the interview, but there's a lot that you can take from it.
Right.
And two just really classy dudes.
Yeah, really nice, really friendly. I was expecting, you know, more like yelly. I mean, I don't know, wrestlers yell, right? I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah,
like, more aggressive, like, but they were. They were super, like, laid back and chill, I guess is my point, which is not what I expect. That's my life. My life is expecting one thing and then getting something completely different.
Here's the thing about wrestlers, though. Because it's, like, a hand-to-hand combat sport, people assume that there's, like, this heavy dose of aggression. It's super technical.
Right.
And
it's like chess.
Yeah. And there's no room for, like, outward displays of emotion because I don't know if you've ever wrestled before. It's an exhausting sport.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It is one of the most exhausting things I've ever done before.
I think part of it might be that two of the guys I know that are wrestlers, like one of my guys was I want to say he was like a state champ wrestler in Lincoln. That mm-hmm. might not be the truth, but I'm pretty sure that was the truth. He was
okay.
A big boy, Lincoln High. His name was Clayton Baird. Aggressive guy. My I guess, niece's ex-boyfriend. Good guy. Aggressive guy, great wrestler. He was also Jeff Foxworthy's bodyguard.
Oh!
But aggressive, right? So, like, that's what I expect when I see wrestlers. And maybe when you go, like, four-time All-American or win a gold medal, it's like you don't really need, like, everybody just sort of knows you're a badass, so there's no need to intimidate people.
Yeah, there was a definite sedated nature to both of these two guys when talking to them. They were... They're just really calm, really chill.
Right.
They knew who they were.
Yeah, it was pretty great. So,
yeah. Should we get into it?
Yeah, let's get into it. So, all right, this is Jordan Burroughs and
James Green.
All right.
So first of all, thank you guys so much for doing this. We really, really appreciate it. It's a pleasure to talk to both of you.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you.
Yeah, for those just jumping in, we've got two of the most legendary wrestlers in Nebraska history, national champion Jordan Burroughs and four-time All-American James Green. Glad to have you guys. And I just got to know, you're both from Jersey. What in the world brought you guys into Nebraska?
I'll go first. So actually, I had a buddy of mine whose name was Vince Jones. He was a little bit older than me. He was a year older than me. We were best wrestlers at the same high school back in New Jersey. And he actually went to Nebraska a year before me. And so he convinced the coaching staff there in Nebraska I was a good wrestler. He said, hey, my buddy Jordan Burroughs back in New Jersey is pretty good. You should go recruit this guy. I won a state championship my senior year. And one of my only visits my entire high school career to the University of Nebraska, loved the facility, coaching staff, and went to Nebraska and decided to go there. And so it was a good choice for me.
That's great.
Yeah, how about you, James?
For me, pretty much, you know, I was from New Jersey. I knew Jordan had success at Nebraska. And with my recruiting process, you know, Nebraska showed a lot of interest. And knowing how Jordan wrestled, how I wrestled, and the time partners that would be there for me, I just felt like it was a great place to be. And I liked what they had to offer.
That's great. So yeah, the one of the weird things that I've noticed about Husker athletics in general is, for some reason, we pull in a lot of guys from Jersey, whether it be for football or wrestling or, and they all kind of, so let me ask you this, what was the culture shock like coming from a place like New Jersey to the middle of Nebraska, which is, you know, cornfields and 20 miles in any direction?
Yeah, it was a bit of a culture shock. And so I went to a predominantly African-American high school. My wrestling team, surprisingly, with the dynamics and the demographics of the sport of wrestling, we had a predominantly African-American wrestling team as well in my high school. And so it was definitely a culture shock. But it was interesting that when you're an athlete at the University of Nebraska, the Midwestern hospitality, everyone treated you well. So no one really saw color. No one saw black and white. Everyone just saw red.
That's good to hear.
That's awesome, yeah.
That's good to hear, yeah. How about you, James?
Yeah, it was definitely different. But, you know, when people say, it's like corn and stuff, that's exactly the kind of image I had. And you actually get there, and it's, you know, kind of like a little small city in college town, so it was real nice. Especially the people, everyone's nice there, and, you know, welcome you with open arms, and it's just a good environment.
So, you know, you come into Nebraska, obviously a football-crazed state, a Husker state more than anything, but, you know, a lot of people put a lot of their energy and focus on a sport like football. Then, you know, you're all Americans and the top of your sport in a sport like wrestling. What's it like to kind of be at the top level, but just kind of on that periphery where you're kind of fighting to get noticed?
It's all right. You know, I think that's something that we've recognized as wrestlers. We realize that we never see millionaires. We realize that we never get a ton of notoriety, especially at a school like the University of Nebraska, where we're rich in football history and volleyball history and a number of other sports. But that's something that we've just become accustomed to and we embrace. And so we understand that there's a small niche community of wrestling fans that respect what we do. We understand the work that we put in is going to bring us glory beyond, you know, numbers. It's not always about the quantity of fans you have, it's about the quality. So it's people that understand the sport, understand the sacrifices, and realize that we put a ton of work in. So being a national champion and being a full-time American is equally as impressive to someone who truly understands athletics. So although we never got recognition we feel as though we may have deserved, I think we're pretty happy with the amount of recognition we have received.
Well, and I think that you can take it one step further, because the one thing that as a wrestler that you have that, say, like a football player doesn't have in particular is, one, not only are you a national champion, but you're a gold medal winner, and you both, and you, I mean, that's something that most football players will never experience. And then, and so you have this, like this world-renowned recognition. And then also, you're both on the U.S. team now, correct?
Yes, the world team. 2015 world team will be wrestling on September 12th in Las Vegas at the Orleans Hotel Casino for the world championship.
Oh, in Las Vegas. That's not far from us, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, Las Vegas. So it's relatively close to home. So it's really the first time the world championships are in America in 12 years. So the last 2003, they were in New York City at Madison Square Garden. So we get a huge opportunity to be back on U.S. little two guys from Nebraska on the world team for the first time. I really don't know, years and years and years. So it's very exciting.
That's great, man. That's really exciting.
We may have to road trip that one.
Yeah, for sure. And I was reading on your website that it says that you actually started off as a WWF fan. And we have the same favorite professional wrestler, the Ultimate Warrior. So what was it about the Ultimate Warrior? What was it about that driving that you liked so much? What was it about him?
Well, I love wrestling. I was a really small kid growing up, so wrestling was one of the few sports you didn't have to be very big to excel. And the youngest of four, I was pretty much a runner. My family developed very late physically, and a lot of WWF as a kid. And so I thought that wrestling on the mat and the wrestling would be similar to what I saw in the ring and on TV. And so I would feel a little bit different once I got to the gym and realized that they weren't throwing people through tables and chairs and things like that. And so it was an interesting transformation, but the dynamics of the sport really drew me in right away. And so I was hooked, and I was successful at a young age, and I realized that I could go to the next level. So I always had a new goal to pursue.
So we got that there was the WWF inspiration for you, Jordan. How about you, James? What inspired you to get into wrestling?
I think me and Jordan kind of come from the same. No one in our family really wrestled. Like any other kid when I was growing up, I wanted to be NFL or go be in the NFL and play football. And as I was coming up, I never even thought about wrestling, not like on a WWE perspective or anything. But my close friend, he was on the football team I played with, and his dad ran a wrestling program. And, you know, he told me I should come out and try the sport, and I actually did. And you know, it was just kind of a new experience for me and my dad, and we both were learning this new sport, and we both enjoyed it. And yeah, we just, you know, kind of continued that. We just ended up falling in love with it. So I continued wrestling and success, and just decided that I wanted to, you know, do it on a college level and pursue big medal or world medals.
Great, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So what's the next step? So, like in, you know, like in other sports, there's kind of an obvious progression of what happens. You either go and you play in the NBA or the NFL. But as a wrestler, after, you know, that part of it's over, what's the next step? Do you go to the UFC? Do you go like the Kurt Angle road? Do you go the Kurt Angle road and end up in the WWF? Do you, or do you just see yourself straight as a wrestler? And then when you're done with that part of your career, you just stop beating people up for a living. Is that like, what's kind of the progression for you?
Jordan, you want to?
Yeah, for sure. I think that there are a number of different outlets for wrestlers. You know, and it always depends on preference and personal experience, personal networking, and just passions. And so I think that as a wrestler, traditional next step in terms of occupation is getting into coaching. But there are a number of other lucrative opportunities out there. Obviously, the UFC is one, WWE. Another, but you know, that's something that I've never really had interest in. I used to watch WWF as a kid. I've kind of grown out of it a little bit.
Right.
In terms of the UFC, I have a family and I really don't want to get punched in the face. I'll probably shy away from that as well. And so my passion is wrestling. And so beyond my goals of being a multiple time Olympic medalist and a multiple time world champion, I really don't look that far into the future. The goal now is a year at a time. Practice at a time, continue to improve as a wrestler, improve on my dynamics, and hopefully push my goals. And so once the day I finally hang my shoes up, I'll make a decision then whether, you know, UFC or WWE or, you know, getting an option is still yet to be determined. But at this point, I'm just enjoying the process and the journey that I'm on right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like to add on to that, like, especially when you're coming out of college and just like Jordan said, off of preference, and if you want to continue wrestling internationally, going at the world or Olympic titles, we have, you know, a unique setup at Nebraska. We have what's called a Nebraska Wrestling Regional Training Center that allows us to do kind of like what Jordan said, just focus on what we want to do in the near future, which is win world championships and Olympic medals, and they allow us to just train and focus
years and, you know, provide us with a living situation and ability to train and focus on our goals.
For both of you, what's kind of, you know, sticking with, you know, the traditional brand of wrestling that you guys have been so successful with? We'll start with Jordan, but it's for both of you guys, for James as well. What then are your goals kind of do you see in the next 5 to 10 years? How long do you plan on wrestling, and what ultimately do you hope to accomplish?
It really varies by year, and so as a wrestler, I understand that my athletic time is very short and that an injury is only one practice away. But God willing, I will remain injury-free, very healthy over the next 4 years, so I'm 26 years old now. I really can see myself wrestling beyond 2016 until 20. And so the typical lifespan for a wrestler is a little bit shorter than, say, a professional athlete, simply because of the very financial opportunities presented to us. And so if you can make a living wage wrestling, I think people would wrestle for a lot longer until a lot older age. And so, you know, I feel good. I feel good. I feel healthy. I enjoy the sport still. I enjoy the process, journey, and becoming a better wrestler and everything that's presented to me from my success. And so I don't know, 2020 is probably the goal. Just winning and becoming a better wrestler is really my goal in the sport.
How about for you, James?
Right now, you know, we have this kind of she up in our locker room, and it has a dozen of, you know, what's considered to be, I would say, great elite athlete in terms of international wrestling, and there's multiple people that won multiple titles, and, you know, right now, goal of mine was to be a part of that list, and I think, what is it, Jordan 5 championships? Well,
yeah, you gotta be
on that list. So, I mean, with, you know, being able to, I can stay healthy and stay on track and, you know, wrestle through 2020, that would be awesome just to get medals, because right now I think John Smith, he's the one. He's went six medals, gold medals straight, but we've had guys like Bruce Baumgartner who had 13, right? So, you know, it's all about being healthy, but right now I just take it year by year, and just as long as I'm back, let's be wrestling. That's what I plan to do.
Can you kind of guide us through, like, the life of a wrestler? I mean, I know about wrestling, but I don't know a whole lot about what the wrestling lifestyle is like. What's the typical day, typical week, typical
year
for a wrestler? What's that look like?
It varies. I think our season really starts up as the collegiate season is ending. So typically my first competition of the year is in February or March. We'll wrestle in the U.S. National Championships in April. And then we'll have the World Team Trials or the Olympics sometime in the spring. And then the World Championships and Olympics are in late summer and early fall. And so I think that's pretty much the schedule. We'll usually compete from January until September. And then we get the winter off and just hang tight, do a little bit of training, some lifting, some training, things like that, just remain in shape, but just mentally refocus and replenish our bodies and our minds. That's typically the year of a wrestler, daily, you know, on the mat multiple times a day, sometimes lifting, sometimes replacing that supplement in technique or conditioning or wrestling live. And so there's a number of different training techniques that we have, but typically we're on the mat 6 times a week, we're in the weight room 3 times a week, and we'll have 2 days off.
So what does some of that training and diet kind of entail? Because, you know, obviously wrestling's an intense sport, and weight is such a big part of it as well. Could you give us a little bit of an insight of, as far as, you know, what one of those training regimens or what your diet kind of would be like as a wrestler?
Well, that really varies by individual. And so there are some guys who cut weight at all, some guys who cut an enormous amount of weight. So your diet typically depends on an individual aspect. So, like I said, the training's different. Everyone varies on what their needs are. Some guys are athletic, some guys are more explosive, some guys are slower, some guys need to lift more, some guys need to work technique more. So it's really about the aspect of your wrestling and your opponent that you want to exploit, and the strength that you want to strengthen. And so it really varies. Here at National Team Training Camp, we work on a lot of technique. And so now that we get an opportunity to be amongst the best that our country has to offer, we really have a lot of technical skills and sharpening. And so
footwork and all that gut wrenches and leg laces and positioning and defense and a lot of things like that. And so it's been interesting to see the improvements that we're able to make when we get together as a team. The United States hasn't won a world championship as a team since 1995. So we're really working hard to bring all our ideas together to improve this country from a different standpoint so we can take over the world.
Yeah, that's what we like to hear. if you were talking to a prospective recruit for Nebraska, what would you say to them were the best things about the University of Nebraska, why they should go there? What would you tell them?
James, you can answer that. As a wrestler, basically, you know, I would say from my experience in Nebraska, I feel like we were, you know, no matter what the sport was, we were all one big family. You know, you can hang out with basketball players, football players, track players. And besides the fact of your wrestling team, you know you had, you know, like I said, the sport family. And also the coaching there, they brought good feelings and, you know, a sense of fathership where they were teaching you how to be a great wrestler and also how to be a man off the mat. And if you get anything from them, they were there for you. And as I went through school, I learned from them just how to be better off the mat. And I could always confide in my teammates. And even the staff there, you know, if you have a school with school and everything they have to offer, the tutors, the academic center. And my freshman year, actually, when I was coming to Nebraska, there were talks about, you know, they were trying to get athletes laptops and being able to get them laptops for their career at Nebraska. And, you know, there's a lot of things they have to do through the NCAA to get things like that to happen. And they kept the word and they did it. They actually started that this year. And I'm still at another year of school. And even though I'm not competing, I was able to get a laptop. And those are the kind of things that, you know, that Nebraska do. They look out for the athletes when they're competing and when they're done. So there's a lot they have to offer. And just like how they keep their word on everything and, you know, look out for your best interests.
That's great.
Yeah, that's a. I think if I was a wrestler, I would go there. You convinced me.
So we've talked a little bit about the life.
I forgot about the fans.
About what?
I forgot about the fans. The fans are awesome. I mean, I know we're talking about how wrestling doesn't get looked, but it's awesome to see how many fans come out there and support. And even though, I mean, we might not get, you know, numbers like football, and we still get pretty decent numbers. And it's good to see those people at wrestling matches. And even if you might be out on the town one night, you run into someone and they're talking to you about how they enjoy watching you wrestle. And it's great, especially in the past. It's not too big. It's not too small. And people will see you while you're wrestling or not. And they always come up to you, you know, have great conversation. And the fans, yeah, they're just awesome.
Do you start to recognize the same people at the matches? Like, is it small enough that you can actually meet the same fans several times, or is it still so big that you just sort of have this
crush of red?
Yeah, this crush of red. What's it like there?
Yeah, I think we get pretty much some of the same fans coming back to the matches, and then they, you know, sometimes reach out and bring other fans, friends and family. So it's great, especially, you know, if we have matches like Iowa, where, you know, we'll have Iowa fans come there and Husker fans that love the sport. And it's always good when both teams fans get there, because you know, they're rooting for their school, but then again, they're trying to enjoy the sport. Both awesome. Yeah, I think we have a consistent fan base, and most of the time the same people come in and they're supporting us when they can, even on the weekends.
How much do you look at an opponent like an Iowa or a Minnesota or an Ohio State and think, man, those are our rivals? Would you call any of the teams within the Big Ten your rivals, or is just everybody your opponent?
Oh, yeah. Everyone's opponent, but then there's, you know, people, it's interesting when you're around and you're talking to people, and if they have a little bit of insight on us, you know, they know who Iowa is, they know who Penn State is, and just from watching ESPN, you know, they'll say, oh, they won the last national title. So that, since you kind of always want to wrestle Iowa, you want to wrestle the top schools, and you want to be able to compete against them and try and beat them because, yeah, they're, you know, obviously coming off good years. They have good reputation, and they're well-known throughout the wrestling community. So it's always good to wrestle those top schools and try and compete, and obviously you're looking to win and beat those schools.
Wrestlers are probably among the best athletes that a person would probably run across. It's pretty hard to argue against that. If you were to take like the best athletes from each sport across campus and put them in the decathlon, do you think wrestlers would win, or which sport do you think would be the most competitive, would have the most competitive athletes?
I mean, it depends on the sport. I think that wrestlers would be, yeah, I mean, we've wrestled anyone on campus, no matter
what. I hope.
I think we'd be able to beat women on campus in wrestling. Obviously, there'd have to be some type of weight restriction. But some of those football players are really big. But it's just a different, you know, way that we're able to maneuver our bodies. We have a really good feel for that awareness and just how to manipulate our opponents. And we're in really good shape. And so conditioning is great. And hand-to-hand combat, we're second to none. So I think just that aspect is really great for wrestlers. And we're just extremely mentally tough because things that we have to do just to compete. So outside of training and, competing and doing things and the necessary sacrifices that every athlete makes, making weight makes us, I think, the premier sport in terms of toughness. So imagine if some of those football players didn't get meals before they had to go out there and compete. I don't know if they'd be up to those linemen around as easily as they do.
Actually, that was our last question. So So thank you very much, guys. We really appreciate you talking to us.
Yeah, best of luck.
Yeah, no problem. No problem. Thanks, dude.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thank you, guys. Go Big Red.
Hey, thanks for bearing with us, guys. That was a fun conversation with the two of them.
Yeah, super great.
Yeah. If you're in the Lincoln area, the Coliseum is always a fun place to watch, like, a wrestling duel. It's a great atmosphere. I don't know if anybody out there has experienced it or not, but wrestling duels are kind of one of the great things in sports, and Nebraska does it well. So go check them out sometime.
And one of my favorite things that I remember from wrestling matches when I would watch my buddy in high school was they bang on the mats, like the cheerleaders and stuff.
I can't remember if they had that at the college level last time I went to watch one or not.
Oh.
I remember it in high school, and I remember every high school wrestler being super annoyed by it, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because they could feel it while they're wrestling, and it was distracting, apparently.
Oh, see, in my head, I always assumed it was, like, not annoying. I don't know.
Yeah, most wrestlers I talked to hated it, but we didn't think to ask that of Jordan and James. I don't know if they do that in New Jersey.
Yeah, you think they do that in the Olympics?
I'm doubting it. Okay. I'm doubting their Olympic cheerleaders.
That's what the Olympics need!
Ah!
That's what we need. That would make them way more popular. Because, yeah, you know, the Olympics are so unpopular. All right, cool. So, yeah, that's it.
All right, go Big Red.
Go Big Red.
Hi again, everybody. Kent Pavelka telling you the Big Red Topcast has got it!